week, what did you have?
Jehovah.
As you know, Intel has a good zero. The week before, what did we have?
Catholicism.
Okay. Today, God's willing, هناخد the Mormons. And then, later on, God's willing, have a Protestant, and then the Islam. So, pay attention. Today's subject is very, very amazing. Because you're going to see a lot of people about the Mormons. And you know, one of the people who were running for president before was a Mormon. And you guys have to understand what the Mormons are about. Okay, God's willing, Rabbina ma'ana blessing in harda to hear from Mina Andrews. Thank you.
Before I start, I want to apologize because I'm a little sick under the weather. So my voice is not going to go up too much. It's not going to go up too much. So from what I gather from Pastor Mary is that you're doing a comparative theology series. And you may be wondering why that's important and why should we go through that in preparation as a servant? Why should I prepare myself to know comparative theologies? Why should I know what the Catholics believe? Why should I know what the Protestant Church believes? Why should I know what the Jehovah's Witness Church or cult believes? I'm going to get into that as you'll see in this presentation. So, do you want to put it on? So, you see the subtitle here? I have it typed, the subtitle, A Christian Cult. Okay, it looks from the outside appearance to be a very Christian institution or church. But it's the last thing from that. Okay, as you'll see, as we go through this presentation, you're going to find that it's far from Christianity. But the reason why it's recognized as a Christian cult is because they have the main characters of the scripture, like Jesus Christ, St. Mary, Lucifer, all of these people that are familiar to us, that we understand them. So the whole Christian world recognizes the Mormons as a cult, not a church. There's a big difference between cult and church. Okay. All right. So although they seem to be Christocentric, almost everything they believe is out of the line from what the majority of Christians believe, as I already said. Just because the name of Jesus is used in what appears to be a church or Christians does not mean that Jesus as we know him is being referred to. Okay, this is from St. Theophane Reclus. He's a saint from the Eastern Orthodox Church. And this is from a book that he wrote called Preaching Another Christ. Okay. So this is very important for us to know before we get started. Okay, so I'm going to go a little bit more into this. Why study comparative theology? First of all, there's a verse in 1 Peter 3:15 that says, be ready to give a defense for the hope that is in you. Okay, so give a defense. What usually happens in Christianity and what we see in the early church are attacks on the church. Attacks in the core beliefs of the church. Okay? So you find that the Christians have to defend the church. Okay? So the Christians always had the duty of defending the true faith. Okay? Before all of these attacks, there was no such thing as us having to clarify our beliefs. Does that make sense? It's only because of the attacks and wrong ideas that we began to have ecumenical councils and more crystallization of the faith and more laws and more rules and more. That's all a development from the ecumenical councils, okay? And that kind of goes into that second point that I make here. We begin to know ourselves more after we know what we are not, okay? And like I also mentioned in the past minute, some of the early church fathers were apologists. Okay, apologist meaning defend. Apologia meaning defend. Okay. Okay. So this is a practice that we have in the church. And since the Mormon cult is a 19th century church,
who is responsible for defending
us, right? The early church didn't know who Mormons were. If they did, they'd probably roll in a grave right now if they heard some of these things. But you'll see that some of the ideas are developments of early heresy, like Arianism. Okay, so they just take old heresies and play with them a little bit more and expand on them and make them more of a story. What I take from the Mormon cult is like a fantasy story. It's sort of like a very weird, crazy kind of thing, as you'll see. So, if we're going to talk about Mormonism, we have to talk about the founder of Mormonism, and that is Joseph Smith. Okay, in 1820, a boy at the age of 14, by the name of Joseph Smith, began to ponder which Christian denomination was the true faith. So he had an easy question. He had a simple question in his mind. Why are they there, all these denominations right now? And how can they all claim to be the true church? So he went on a journey and a quest to find the true faith. Good intentions, right? Very good intentions, right?
Yeah. What do you mean by denominations? He was wondering why they are Protestants and Catholics?
So as you know, there was many Protestants in the 19th century. There was many, like Methodist, Pentecostal, all of these were Lutherans, they were all Anglicans, everybody was still, this is fairly recent, so there was a lot of denominations, Christian denominations, and that's primarily referring to the Protestant Christians, okay? And of course, the Eastern Orthodox, the Oriental Orthodox, they're among the other denominations. So we can't just say that we're outside of this group. This is every Christian. Okay? And when Joseph Smith was growing up, he attended Methodist revival meetings. I don't know too much about these meetings, but I can assume that a lot of weird things happened there, like exorcisms. Not that that's wrong or anything, but you know, that kind of thing. A lot of like falling, fainting, speaking in tongues, a lot of that kind of stuff. Okay? So, eventually God appeared to Joseph Smith in a vision, okay? And at the age of 17, he claimed to have seen an angel called Moroni. Who here has heard of the angel Moroni before? Nobody's heard of him before, right? Okay. The angel informed him of gold plates that would be buried and special seeing stones to allow him to read the plates. So, God came to him and told him, there's plates that you're going to find in this secret location, and I'm going to give you special stones to translate this unknown language. Okay? So that's very ironic, that's very exclusive, that there's no manuscript evidence, there's none of this. Okay? Because there is none. It's an unknown language, and the plates were gone. There's no evidence of them. So this is how they got their book. The Mormons have a book called the Book of Mormons, as you'll see in the upcoming slides. Okay, like I said, these were the beginnings of the Book of Mormon. And to the Mormons, Joseph Smith is recognized as a prophet. Okay? This is all pretty silly, right? Anyway, in 1830, Smith officially founded his church in Manchester, New York. That's not too far from here. Calling it simply the Church of Christ. So it's very misleading. It's very misleading. Its foundation is very shaky. Anyway, he was able to get a lot of people to come, and it grew. Anyway. Other authoritative texts in the Mormon Church include the Doctrine and Covenants and the Pearl of Great Price. Okay, obviously I'm not going to get into these because this is very detailed, and that's like us going into some early Christian texts that we have, for example, like the Didache and all those texts. It's like those supplement texts that are also part of their core beliefs, their secondary books. Okay, Okay, so we need to know a little bit more history before we can get into the doctrine and the dogmas of the Mormon Church. Who here knows what doctrine and dogma is? I kind of touched on it in the beginning, but I want to make sure we're all, you know, up to speed. Does anyone want to take a shot? Okay, that's okay, I'll tell you. The dogma or doctrine is like the belief system of the church. Okay? It's that simple. Okay, those things include things like Christology. So, who Christ is. Is he human? Is he divine? There's also areas of dogma that deal with salvation, areas of dogma and doctrine that deal with all of these other parts of the Christian life that we need to know information about. And this is all coming out of the ecumenical councils. First, second, and third. Okay?
There's a difference between dogma and doctrine.
They're just interchangeable terms. Okay, so in 1843, Smith said he had received a revelation from God sanctioning polygamy, which he referred to as plural marriage. Okay? So in the Mormon cult, they permit multiple marriages. So a male in the Mormon cult can marry many wives. They can have 10, 15, and Joseph Smith had 44 or something like that. Okay? Hundreds. Okay. What's so funny? It's funny that he had so many wives.
No, I had so many children.
Oh, so many children. Yeah, I live him a day. I kill him a day. I doubt that's actually practical. I don't know what he would. Can it farm better if you had a lot of kids? Imagine calling them for dinner and setting it up. Okay, so you see a lot of differences already. Okay? Despite being a revelation supposedly of eternal value. Okay, so this was something supposed to be like set in stone, this is gold. This teaching of polygamy is something very central to the Mormon church because they believe in taking over. They have that concept. What's that?
Being the God.
Being God. So yeah, we're going to get into that. Okay? But eventually, this idea was taken away. So in the Mormon church, they're constantly revising their doctrines. Constantly changing. As you'll see in a lot of other slides that I'll get into. So as you see here, in 1890, this was largely influenced by the pressure of the federal government. We're here in the United States, and obviously that's not going to be okay for the government. So they threatened the state of Utah, which is where a lot of Mormons are. A lot of Mormons are in the state of Utah. And they threatened the state of not being an actual state if they didn't do away with polygamy. Okay? Another thing that's pretty interesting is in Utah, there's a lot of mountains. And they have their center in the mountain, inside. They dug tunnels, and it's like more secure than a lot of like federal agencies. Like if you shot like something at this, you wouldn't destroy what's in there. These people have a lot of power. They have universities. Brigham Young University. Brigham Young is the second leader in the Mormon church, or a cult. And they have a university that's, you know, accredited and everything. They offer degrees and everything. So the culture in Utah, till this day, is like that. If you go there, you're going to be surprised to see what's going on. Okay? And at the end here, you see how the Mormons believe that plural marriage will be restored in heaven. That's very interesting, too. We believe that nobody is given in marriage in the kingdom, right? Nobody. There's none of these ideas of marriage in the kingdom, right? This is one of their temples. It looks like Walt Disney, like a castle.
They're very well funded.
They have a lot of money. If I'm not mistaken, they own a lot of TV channels.
TV channel.
I think it may be UPS 9. They own some of the big channels. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of political power, like Prince Mary was saying. Mitt Romney was running for president. So can you imagine somebody who is part of that cult becoming the head of the United States?
How did they get so much money in the beginning before they start owning?
Well, this is early 19th century. What's the history of the United States from the beginning of what, the 18th century?
The railroads, the oil.
Yeah. So I'm sure they got involved in a lot of these things. They were not too far from California.
They own a lot of land.
They own a lot of land. They got involved in the timber and gold during that time. I'm sure those were ways they got really rich. And you got to understand, they attracted a lot of people.
Who did not want to be captured.
Yeah. So if you're telling somebody, look, I'm going to cut you a deal, you can marry as much as you want. Who's offering that? You know, nobody's going to offer you that. So, you know, they were popular. They attracted a lot of people.
could it be maybe that they got the idea of polygamy, like from the Old Testament, when there would be a lot of people that would have relations with more than
one? Of course. Yeah, we can't deny the polygamy in the Old Testament, but this is far from a New Testament idea. So the majority of Christians have, you know, settled that a long time ago. So that was done away with a long time, centuries before the 19th century. That's very important to know. Just because it's in the Old Testament, you know, doesn't mean it allows that kind of behavior. The Christian world is different.
I'm saying maybe they took it out of context.
I'm sure they refer to those references to support. I'm sure, I wouldn't be surprised. Okay. So within Mormonism, there's denominations that. So just like there's denominations in the Protestant religion, there's also denominations within Mormonism. So the initial group was founded in 1830, but the primary one was led immediately after by Brigham Young, okay, who acted as Smith's right-hand man and commanded the majority of followers after Smith was killed by a mob in 1844. This main group is called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, LDS. This is the name you'll find today. If you pass any Mormon temple, you'll find that title.
LDS,
which is Latter-day Saints.
Sounds like a disease.
What does it sound like?
A disease.
Oh, yeah.
LDS. Oh, I'm LDS.
Guys, and to go back to what I just said, the whole point of giving a defense is to actually feel for these people. A lot of them are misled. So it's our duty to also not just accuse them and attack them, but to also try to shed some light and truth on some truth that they have. If somebody knows a little bit about Jesus Christ, it's easier than somebody that doesn't know anything, right? So we have a good opportunity with these people. But on it, you know, what's interesting is they do more mission work than anybody else. They are so zealous. They take about 2 years to train. So you know how you have a pre-service class for 2 years, right? They have the same thing, but to do mission. All right, and they travel in pairs, okay? And they have a tag, and they wear a uniform. And the tag says elder, okay? And they go around doing the door-to-door thing, and they give out tracts on like pamphlets with some, you know, some beliefs, some ideas. They're very active. Okay, so I'm going to get into some Mormon doctrine. The Mormons believe in the Holy Trinity, but they regard the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as three separate gods, who are united in purpose, which they refer to as the Godhead, which is an Orthodox Christian term. So they use our vocabulary, okay? As well, though Orthodox use it with a very different meaning. Unlike the God of Orthodox Christian, these gods are not uncreated. Okay? these gods are not uncreated. So they believe the gods are created. That's very undermining to the Christian people. If God is not the Alpha, or He has no beginning, then someone is before Him, right? In fact, the Father who created our world was once a human, but gradually became God over time. For a time, the Mormon Church taught that Adam is God the Father. So they have this idea that you gradually ascend to a deity or a God. Okay? Jesus is therefore, of course, God, but He was born from sexual reproduction, just as every other God was. So it wasn't by the Holy Spirit as we believe. We believe that the Holy Spirit descended upon the Virgin, and it wasn't the way we understand reproduction or any of that. Okay? And they refer to Him as a spirit child of the Heavenly Father who created our world. They also teach that Lucifer, that is Satan, who opposed his older brother Jesus. So basically, Jesus and Lucifer were brothers, and they got into a fight, and they, one was struck down, and the other was a god. That kind of idea. Mary's giving birth to Jesus is taught to be the result of intercourse with the Father, though it is defined as a virgin birth, because it was intercourse with God and not with a mortal man. Okay, so it's a lot of twisted ideas. I'm sorry you have to hear a lot of this stuff, but it's good for you to know the details.
But Jesus originally was a mortal man, right? And then He worked His way up and became God?
Yeah, so just like they mentioned before, that Adam was God the Father. He gradually became God the Father.
And Mary had two sons. One is good and one is bad. The good one is the Jesus. The bad one is the Lucifer.
Yeah. And they also believe that things like Jesus having wives and children and all of that, which is all contrary to common Christian belief, core belief. Okay? So you could see why the whole Christian world labels them as a cult. It's very easy for us to dismiss them without getting rid of a lot of these ideas or these notions.
How do you come up with these things? Like no books that say anything relevant.
You remember how I mentioned Joseph Smith is the source. He had a nice imagination.
He has a place, and this place has certain scripture languages that he's the only one who will be able to understand.
And they can't
find out. Everybody just believe everything he says. One man, follow his faith. Coming from one man.
He's influential. He was influential. He was a speaker. Everyone followed him. That's how it happens. It all starts from one person.
They struggle a lot with the idea of mystery. If you haven't noticed that yet, they struggle with the idea.
Of what?
The idea of mystery. That a lot of these things are mystery that are not really fully answered in human language. It's faith. Like, we could only go so far to explain certain things. But they want to have a very earthly answer for everything. Okay? Sorry, it's freezing. Okay. So we touched on this. They have polytheism. Oh no, I'm sorry, we didn't touch on this. They have the belief of more than one God. Mm-hmm. Most Christians have the idea of monotheism, one God. Poly meaning many, more than one. So they believe in many gods. Okay? The Trinity is radically different from the Trinity in Orthodoxy, because Mormons are polytheists, while Orthodoxy is monotheistic. It's a pretty straightforward point, right? Okay, so this is a point that Tons Mary touched on. Theosis and deification. The idea that a person becomes a god. And we also touched on that a few seconds ago. Mormon soteriology, which means doctrine of salvation, sounds similar to the Orthodox doctrine of theosis. This is not our Orthodox understanding. This is the Eastern. But I put it there because it's very interesting to see how the Eastern Orthodox has this idea but doesn't go with it. This is a bigger topic and it needs a lot more explanation. Okay? But these do exist. These ideas do exist in some Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox churches, but the most important thing is that we do not become gods in essence, but by reflection. Okay? So we become like God. Nothing, we're not like the material of God. We're not like the stuff that is God. It's just like the moon reflects light from the sun. Same idea. Okay? Okay, they have baptism. So you can see that the framework is pretty much similar to what we have. They have baptism, they have theology on St. Mary, Jesus Christ, salvation, everything. Okay? They have theology on baptism. The practice of baptism is regarded as a normal part of salvation, yet for Mormons, baptism is so absolutely essential that they believe it is utterly impossible to ascend in the afterlife without it. So, in response to that idea, they do something called the baptism of the dead. They go into the yellow pages and they use, you know, a living person that would take your place and they baptize them in your name. So they think they're doing you a favor. Okay? So you would accomplish baptism through another person. We also touched on this. Mormons also believe on ongoing revelation. So constantly changing ideas. So an example of this is black men were not permitted to become part of the priesthood in the Mormon the cult. Okay? But after all of the history that we have in the United States, they quickly took that back because they didn't want to be caught being, you know, racist. Okay, so you see how they take back a lot of things. Polygamy, let's take that back. You know, discrimination, racism, let's take that back. Okay, so they're constantly changing their ideas. It depends on the weather, how they feel.
They still think that black people are less.
Yeah, some of them still have those ideas where they're like secondary human, second class human beings. And a lot of these cover-ups are made by the LDS leaders. Okay, so the big guys in the Mormon cult, they make a big effort to cover up a lot of these things. And obviously, they don't mention these things when they're going around doing evangelism. They don't touch on half of this stuff. If they did, they'd probably scare the person away. Okay, the Book of Mormon. So the Book of Mormon claims that Jews came to North America in ancient times and that Jesus came here after his resurrection. So Jesus came to the United States after the resurrection. Detailed information is given about various ancient civilizations that supposedly existed in North America. It is also claimed that the golden plates from which the Book of Mormon was translated were written in a script known as Reformed Egyptian. Yet, there is not one manuscript, not one shared shred of archaeological evidence, okay? So that's very important. And I also touched on that earlier. Okay? Oh, did you need me to go back? Sorry, I'm flipping through this quickly. Is this the right slide? I'm sorry, this is a lot of information I'm throwing at you, but I don't know how else to approach this. Are we okay? Okay. Mormon symbols, teaching, and even ceremonies were adapted from Freemasonry. So who knows who the Freemasons are? Does anyone know who the Freemasons are? Yeah, it's part of the Illuminati. So a lot of these new rappers are part of the Freemasons. A lot of these pop stars are. A lot of them are Freemasons and Illuminati. They have a lot of satanic practices, and this is the origin of a lot of their liturgical kind of expression. So they derived a lot of their kind of worship, a lot of this mysterious, creepy kind of stuff that they do. They have weird, like, stars with circles on the side of their temples. They have all sorts of things, okay? And you'll find that, you know, if you ever pass by a temple.
Is that picture the plates that Smith found?
Yeah, I don't know. This is a replication. They don't have the plates. This is just to give us an idea, you know? But I could imagine it looked like that. Maybe not like a three-ring binder. I don't know if they had that in 1819. Okay. Okay, so Mormonism today. Mormonism is currently growing by nearly 250,000 people every year. The Mormon community tends to be strongly moral and friendly. So if you see Mormons today, they have a very conservative kind of way of living. You'll see all of their girls wearing skirts. You'll see them not wearing any kind of provocative clothing at all. Okay? The boys are well dressed. Khakis, a belt, a tie, even a shirt and a tie. They're very, like, they look attractive. You look at it and you're like, this is a nice family. Okay, and a lot of the TV shows, there's a TV show called 18 and Counting or something.
Sister Wives.
There's some show called 18 and Counting. So the media is pushing these ideas. Oh, look at these nice families. But they're Mormons, okay? And externally, they look to be, you know. I remember listening to Ambassador Young. He gave us a talk on Mormonism. And the verse that he would not stop mentioning and referring to, that he applied to the Mormons was, "Beware of sheep in wolves' clothing." Okay, that's exactly what they are. They look like sheep. They look innocent, but they will destroy you. Like theologically, they will dismantle everything you know about Christ.
Beware of wolves and sheep.
Beware of wolves and sheep. Sorry. The Mormon community, is friendly, and Mormon missionaries who de-emphasize the more controversial teachings of the religion to help facilitate its spread. Many converts are unaware of a good many of the things we have mentioned. Okay. So these are two elders approaching some person.
What happens if you try to get out of it?
Okay, good question. Mm-hmm. They will come after you. Mm-hmm. They will set up like an assassin to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of this that we've heard about and a lot of historical evidence for that.
Wait, you have to like tell them like you're leaving their cult?
Yeah, you have to get them permission, and then if you do leave, and then you start to expose them even more, because that's what they tend to do, the people that leave, they expose them even more. Nobody is allowed in the temple except Mormons, so it's a very insider kind of knowledge, and they do a lot of crazy things in there. They wear hoods, they look like the KKK. They're crazy.
Don't they believe in the Bible and the Ten Commandments?
They have these things, but they don't give them too much attention, and it's so easy to, you know, misconstrue the whole thing. I remember something that Saint Irenaeus said in the early church. He's one of our church fathers. He said something that I always mention to people when I'm trying to explain questions about scripture. Okay, he said the heretics, so it's people that come up with these ideas and do things. What they do is they take gems. Gems are equal to verses, commandments, whatever. Okay? So gems, I'm trying to form, he's trying to help us form a visual thing here. He says verses are gems, okay? So what the heretics do is take gems, verses, and they construct them. They make a mosaic. So they're not saying anything wrong. They take gems and build a mosaic. When you zoom out, it's a dog. And they say, this is Christ. Okay? But the true Orthodox faith assembles the gems in the proper order, in the proper way, and says, this is Christ. So don't ever be tricked by them. Okay? It may, that goes back to what we mentioned in the beginning too. I remember what St. Theophan of Reclus said. He said that even though they appear to be a church, they're preaching another Christ. Completely different. We can't say that these people are, you know, God-loving Christians, and it's just a different person. We don't know this Christ. He's completely foreign to us.
And the Bible they use is different than our Bible. You're going to find in the beginning
a lot of translations
exactly similar. No. Then they take words out and look stuff.
Their rate is really big.
Yeah, they're growing quick. No, you're going to see. I have some more stats. Okay. The main Mormon denomination, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, currently claims over 13 million members. Okay, spread over about 175 countries. All Mormon men are expected to spend 2 years of their lives as missionaries at their own expense. There are currently about 53,000 such missionaries in the world, about one for every 245 Mormons. If the Orthodox Church commissioned missionaries at the same rate, we would have about 1 million missionaries preaching the true Christian faith. Okay? And that's something important to know. These are some extras. I mentioned the first one. 44 17
years.
In 17 years.
Mormons, not even a wife a year.
Mormons now, in general, aren't no more polygamy.
Some of them still do it. Mm. So it's still something practiced. Mm. But the majority don't. Joseph Smith said God himself was once as we are now, and is an exalted man. Another Mormon leader coined the saying, as man is God, or as man is, God was once. As God is, man may become. Pretty catchy, right? This is the goal of the life as a Mormon, to become a God. An elevated Mormon will also get to father many children and to create his own world. So they have the belief that you will be a ruler of a world. So they believe in this, like, you know, space thing and the planet, you becoming a god and ruler of that planet. And this is the beginning of the cycle of creation over again. Okay? So, that's pretty much it, if I'm not mistaken. This was my main reference. I highly recommend this book. It's called Orthodoxy and Heterodoxy by Father Andrew Stephen Danik. Basically, the title means everybody knows what orthodoxy is, but heterodoxy is everything outside of orthodoxy. So it gets into all of the ideas and theologies of Nestorianism, Nestorius Church, the Arian Church, all of the heresies, okay? So I derived a lot of my points from this book.
He's an Eastern Orthodox priest.
He's an Eastern Orthodox priest. Yes. But it's pretty safe to use, in my opinion. You have a question? Sorry, guys, it was a little dry, and my voice wasn't helping.
This is slightly off topic, but the, like, the Arianism is like heretical.
Yeah.
We have to, anything with like Nazi Arianism.
I don't know about Nazi Arianism.
The blue line and one.
Can somebody Wikipedia that and read a little bit of it? I don't know about it. Or can you tell me about it? Do you know about it? I don't know.
You know, like, Hitler's religion, like, the Aryan race, the Kulai, Montana, and
yeah. Like yeah. I have to look into that. I'm not sure. Any other questions? So they have baptism, but not the correct form of baptism. I'm not sure if they celebrate the Eucharist. I'm not sure if they celebrate. Obviously, the marriage that they have is not a legal marriage because they have polygamy. So, I mean, I wouldn't consider anything they do sacramental or mysterious or anything.
Do they also have, like, priests or...
Yeah, they have priests.
But you said that picture of the building was a temple, right?
Yeah.
You said only Mormons can enter the temple.
Yeah.
How did they check, like...